good morning. I heard three people. Good morning. Oh my goodness, there we go. Now, always we get like this, everybody's already fellowshipping, so let's just continue doing that. Everybody stand up, turn around, shake a few hands, and welcome each other this morning. All right. Did anybody not have their hand shaken? All right, good. Did anybody afraid of raising your hand? That's good. I want to do something I don't think we've ever done. I was telling Tim, I don't think we've ever done this before. We usually have a little scripture right here. I want to read the lyrics of one of our songs that we do. And we started this as a new song from last week that it goes right with the message today. Matter of fact, it is the title of the message today about Jonah running back to you. So here are the words. And I'll just kind of go through them quickly. I was an orphan defined by mistakes, thought I was forsaken, that you gave up the chase. I went to the reaches to try and ease the ache. Turned my back on the one, capital O, who kept calling my name. You kept calling my name. Didn't matter where I was at, you just kept calling me back. Back to the table, back to my home, back to my father who never lost hope. For the first time in ages, I know what to do. With my arms wide open, I'm running back to you, running back to you. Now I've been rescued, my soul is remade, but even the ransomed can fall on their face. When I'm drowning in questions, when I've lost the path, your love is the answer as you're calling me back. Back to the table, back to my home, back to my father who never lets go. Whatever I'm facing, I know what to do. With my arms wide open, I'm running back to you. I'm running back to you. It doesn't matter all the times where I've been in over my head like Jonah. I'm never too far gone where your arms cannot pull me back again like Jonah. I've never been so lost where your love could not fill my emptiness. I'm never too far gone where your arms cannot pull me back again. What a great, great message. That is basically the story of Jonah right there, as we'll sing that in a few moments. Now we're going to do that song in second song. So I hope it'll really hit hard when we sing that song. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for the lessons all throughout Scripture that you teach us, the characters and what they go through. And of course, as we think of our lives, that we many times run directly away from you, help us to run to you and with you and to be side by side in the work that you have for us to do. Lord, we love you, we thank you, and we pray that you'll take this worship time now and use it as you would have seen fit. And we thank you all for these blessings, the lessons from folks like Jonah. In Jesus' name. Amen. Tay, I don't know how Jason gets through with me playing the keyboard. It's kind of tough for him, I know. We have so much fun up here. It's a blast. By the way, we did have some sad news. I was telling Melanie and Jason beforehand. The guy that came up with Heat Index passed away. Did anybody hear about this? The guy who created a Heat Index, he was 95, but he felt like he was 107. We're no longer sad. Okay. We are sad. It's just so hot. Yeah. You know, when Kevin had a first grandbaby girl, he put a couple photos on the screen. I don't know if I would ever. Well, I don't know, Joe. Let's see. There he is. That one on the left, I told Kevin, I said, that's the response of most people when they hear his sermon. Left-hand side, and then on the right side, that's when they hear Jason and the band. So that's good. So, yeah, AJ, thank you for your prayers and welcoming him. Was that the last one? I think last two up there. Good, okay. So today we talk about Jonah, and I thought about this whole message is really kind of, if you just think of the world today, it kind of talks about running and talks about fishing. So those are two things. Do you know that there are events out there where they combine running and fishing? I don't know if that's one of them, but that's a heck of a picture there with a fish who's running. But there are contests. I know, Jonathan, you're in the half marathons, marathons. Have you ever been in a fishing tournament? No, they usually don't match up, do they? Anybody been in a fishing tournament? Look at that. Anybody been in a fishing tournament and a running event? Just Addie. All right. There you go. All right. So here we go. Let's see. I did try to look up some of the fishing records worldwide. And this is very interesting because I looked to see the largest fish caught in Charleston was a 1,019-pound tiger shark right here in Charleston. Was that one of your boys, Tim? That wasn't him. Okay. The largest in South Carolina, and believe me, I don't believe everything on the internet, but I went ahead and sent this anyway. In South Carolina, the biggest was 1,780-pound tiger shark caught in Cherry Grove. I think that's the north part of Myrtle Beach. Largest in the United States. Now, this is really weird. I'll tell you why in a second. 3,450-pound great white shark in New York. Then I hit, what's the largest in the world? 2664 in Australia. Did anybody see something weird there? Yeah, we in the U.S., we exaggerate, I guess, a little bit, that, especially in New York. But those are some big. Now, we have some people here who have caught some pretty good-sized fish. All right, let's see. I don't remember what order they're going to come up in, but we have some folks. Oh, look at that. There's Kaylee and Addie back here. They caught a fish. There's Kaylee. That's a big one. Keep them going. Oh, there! Look at that. There's Harley. He had to work today, I guess. He'll miss his photo. Oh, now there's BB. Look at that fish. Now, we'll stop right here a second. This is supposedly, reading across there, it says this was caught in Mount Pleasant. I think, is that a flounder? Like a world record flounder over there? I think it had to be on Shem Creek because they have flounder over there. But then now, don't put it up yet, Joe, but I did find one of Kevin's trophies. Of his fish, he caught. Very proud of this one. So go ahead and bring it up. There it is. So give him a hand. One of the all-time greats, right there. Well, here we go. Now let's get serious. The message today: running back to you. You just heard the song a minute ago, and so the question is: Are we? Are you? Am I running from, to, or with God? Good questions. Hebrews chapter 12, the word running and racing is all through Scripture. We see it right here. Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. If you've ever been in a stadium where they're having races on the track, you see them right there, their eyes are focused straight ahead. Our eyes on the race. There's a race that's laid out before us, and we should keep our eyes on Jesus. There's so many distractions. Keep our eyes on Him. We're running that race. Next verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, another racer's probably been on t-shirts, Jonathan, that you guys use. It says, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone who's running aimlessly. We see this, I think there's a gold medal. Now, this girl's name is Sydney McLaughlin. Oh, I don't know if I'm saying it right. She won the hurdles in the Olympics, United States runner. We're going to come back to her in a little bit about her testimony as well. She's holding that gold medal, but that won't last. The thing we're running for lasts forever. And then the last one here, I love this story. It's at the resurrection, John chapter 20. Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone was moved away from the entrance. She ran and at once to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved. So John is writing this. He doesn't say his own name, but he's the one that Jesus loved. Gasping for breath. They took the master from the tomb, she cried. Peter and the other disciple left immediately for the tomb. They ran neck and neck. The other disciple got to the tomb first, outrunning Peter. Notice he loses his humility right there. He won the race. Then the other disciple, the one who had gotten there first, went into the tomb, took one look at the evidence, and believed. They looked in and saw, and there they are, racing to the tomb. Can you imagine the excitement of that day? And they didn't really know quite what was happening yet, but they were about to find out. And then there's Jonah, running, running, and more running. Got a little picture of Jonah. Look at that. Nineveh. And he's going the opposite. Matter of fact, you know that Nineveh was probably one of the greatest cities in the world at that time, but it was also one of the most evil in the world. If I were to tell you some of the things they did, it would probably, some of you would have to get up and leave the room. That's how bad they were. I mean, they're killing people and doing terrible things. But then God called Jonah to go to Nineveh, to this city. And Jonah said, I'm out. I'm going the other way. All right? We'll talk about that. Saying, look what it says here in the first blanks that you have. Many, like Jonah, are running directly from God. Running from God. I hear this a lot. I hear people, I'm getting ready to do a wedding or I'm doing something, talking to somebody, and they say, you know, I'm not very religious. And I say, well, I'm not either. It's all about the relationship. It's not about rules and regulations and religion. It can be just habits. But it's a relationship with Christ. And you want to get to the point where we can talk to them about that. But many are running directly from God. Look what it says here in Jonah chapter 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Going directly from the Lord. Now, Joe's brought up the map. Can you see where Tarshish is? I mean, it's as far away from Nineveh as you can imagine. You're in Joppa. You're in the Middle East right there. That's where Israel is now. He gets in a boat going all the way to Spain to get out of there. And something's about to happen, though. Instead of going to Nineveh, he goes the opposite direction. Trying to get away from God. How many of us, from time to time, we see the results in that chapter? The storm comes up. There's fear. There's chaos. There's danger. They throw their possessions overboard trying to save the ship. I don't know if I've ever been on a boat. Anybody been on a boat where you had to throw everything overboard? I don't think so. They're trying to say they were confessing, they were praying, they were in depression, they were making a tragic decision. What's going on here? And down in the bottom of the ship, there was Jonah was sleeping. And so here is a really interesting picture because here were pagans praying, trying to figure out what's going on, save our lives. And here was a prophet who was pouting about God, what God was doing. You can go take that one back a second, Joe. Swallowed by the huge fish and the whale. You know, this is like to think there actually happened. I think one happened this last year where someone was swallowed by a whale and lived through it. You may have read about this. But here's this fish coming along, ready to take him in. We'll read about it in a second. There were other people who ran directly from God. And let's look at it. Now we see the photo here. Saul, who later became Paul, you see him standing off to the side there. He approved and held the coats while they stoned Stephen to death. This was Saul before he became a Christian. He had a crisis of belief that is defined by a guy named Henry Blackaby in a book called Experiencing God. And listen to what it says. In this framework, a crisis of belief is a pivotal moment where a believer must decide whether to trust and obey God's invitation to participate in a God-sized task or to shrink back in fear or doubt. It's not a negative event, but a turning point that reveals one's true commitment to God. This crisis highlights the tension between what God invites us to do and what we feel capable of doing on our own. How many times do you feel like God is calling you to do something and you say, I can't do that? That's exactly the thing that God's calling you to do many times, because then it proves that He is in charge. It's His power, not ours. That girl that I was talking about that was holding the gold medal, Cindy McLaughlin. Let me read what she wrote in one of the magazines, one of the running magazines. Said she had reached a low point during COVID-19, the pandemic, but her faith helped her regroup. I felt like I was running from God for years. That's when I was like, God, I surrender it to you. I don't know what this looks like. I don't even know what it means. Just show me what you're trying to show me. She gave her life over and said, hey, I surrender. And this is a girl that just was incredibly successful. She's still running. You might still see her in some of the events, world championships, maybe the Olympics. And we'll see in a moment, she's actually written a book to try to lead others to Christ. The second thing that we sometimes see are some are running directly to God. Thank heavens for those folks. Now, Jonah eventually did that after coming in contact with a big fish or whale. You know, a whale is not a fish, but I'm not so sure that in the Hebrew language it kind of delineates all that. Look what it says here. It's Jonah swallowed up. Jonah prayed to his God from the belly of the fish. I think I'd be praying also. And he prayed in trouble, deep trouble. I prayed to God. He answered me and said, from the belly of the great, I cried, help, and you heard my cry. And I'm worshiping you, God, calling out in thanksgiving. I'll do what I promised I'd do. Salvation belongs to God. And then God spoke to the fish. The fish got a little bellyache, and it vomited Jonah on the seashore. And there he is on the seashore. Now, at that point, he doesn't say which way to Tarshish. He says which way to Nineveh. He's ready now. How many times, you know, God has to kind of wake us up a little bit and say, hey, I've got something really great in store. We're fighting it. And then finally we say, yes, if we'll do what God's called us to do, it's such a blessing to do what God's called, to run to God, not from Him. Look at a couple of folks here. Think of Zacchaeus. Do you realize that Zacchaeus ran, there's another word, he's running up ahead just so he can get up in that tree and see Jesus. He was so excited. He was running to God. Now, we had, we'll talk a little bit in a minute, my friend Jeff Lovingood, I don't know if that's the next one up coming up. We'll see that one in a minute. I went into the Unite event they had for the youth. That was over at a church in West Ashley. 380 students came into Charleston to kind of help with that big event that took place at Joe Riley Park. My friend Jeff Lovingood was speaking, and I wanted to go in there, and I said, you know, I'm preaching in a couple weeks on Jonah. Maybe he'll tell a story or give an illustration that I can share. I walked in, the first thing I heard him say, he had a little 7th or 8th grade boy up there reading the scripture, and he said, when was the last time you ran into Jesus? First words. I said, man, I'm in the right place. When was the last time we ran into Jesus? We ran with Him to do the things that He's called us to do. So many times we're distracted and we're looking the other way, but keeping our eyes on Him. My dad was the second in command on one of his ships. There's another ship he served on called the Ajax. He was not second in command on this ship. This was a big one. But one day, he felt God calling him to preach. And most of you know that my dad passed away back in March. Great. Just a wonderful ceremony and memorial service there for him. But he went up to the chaplain on this ship and told him, he said, I feel like God's calling me to be a pastor and to preach. And you know what the chaplain said? Sunday at chapel, you'll be speaking. There you go. So if you come up to Jason or me and say, hey, I've got something, be ready. You know, God's calling us to do those things. That chaplain put him right up there and said, hey, go for it. He didn't know how, is he going to be a good preacher? Who knows? God's called him. He better do it. He preached right up until he died. As a matter of fact, he used to do the prayer before the offering. They would do the offering where they pass the plates around, and he'd sit in the back, couldn't get up the front. He'd sit in the back, and they'd have a microphone. So he'd do the prayer before the offering, and then he started praying after the offering too. And so my brother had to put a lady in charge to take the mic away from him at the end. So a lot of funny stories about my dad. But he was called to preach on a ship, and he responded to run to God. Sydney McLaughlin, we mentioned her earlier again. She wrote a book. Let me read what it says here about that. For a long time, my identity was in track and field. But I realized that first and foremost, I'm a child of God. It set me free to run the race God has set out for me to run. That's the race that released her to be free instead of bound up by all the things and the pressures of this world, to run to God. So the question is, are we running away from God? Are we running to God? Third one, a few people are running completely with God. Running with God. Look in this chapter 3. It says, God spoke to Jonah, a second time and said, up on your feet and on your way to the big city of Nineveh. Preach to them. And Jonah started off straight for Nineveh. Obeying God's orders to the letter, Jonah entered the city, went one day's walk, and preached. The people of Nineveh listened and trusted God. There was revival in this evil city. And we talk about Billy Graham. We talk about all these great pastors, evangelists. You know, I don't know what the percentage is of people that come to one of those crusades that get saved. Maybe 10%. Jonah preached, and it was 100%. Everybody, even the leader of the king or the leader of the city, said, we're all now going to believe. We're all going to honor this God that Jonah has told us about. There was revival in that city. There are several people throughout Scripture that kind of go through this process, running from God, running to God, running with God. One of those is Peter, Simon Peter, right there with Jesus. He ran from God. Let's see the next photo. It says he denied Jesus 3 times. You remember that. Right as Jesus was being arrested, he said, I'll never turn away from you, Lord. Everybody else might turn away, but I'm going to be right there with you. And he denied that he even knew Jesus. Second thing happened. He's running away from God there. Jesus comes alongside of him after the resurrection and says, do you love me? Ask him 3 times. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Now he's starting to run to God through Jesus. He's running to Jesus. And then the third photo you see here, he's preaching after Jesus has risen back to heaven. He's preaching on Pentecost. And the Bible says that 3,000 people were saved that day. You're talking about running with God. That's what was happening. Peter. I mentioned my friend Jeff Lovingood. There he is. And I apologize. He's wearing a Tennessee shirt. Sorry about that, all you folks. Had a wedding yesterday, and it was all Tennessee folks. So I came out and said, I hear there's some Alabama fans here, and it did not go well. But there he is. Jeff Lovingood, he's been the chaplain for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Tennessee Vols, the Vanderbilt, all these people. And he was the one talking about Zacchaeus. I tell you what, I love this guy because he had a 5 bypass surgery maybe like 6 months to a year ago, almost died. He's still out there preaching to young people. 380 students were there. 32 students gave their life to Christ that night because he's running with God. I really believe he's running with it. And then the next one up there, you'll see Scott Dawson. This was at Joe Riley Park. I don't know how many of you got to go. There were 10,000 people there on Friday night. CeCe Winans was singing. And then Saturday night, I'm not sure how many were there. I got to go Saturday night. Matter of fact, they wanted me to do a prayer, but I was an hour away finishing up a wedding up in, anybody heard of Reevesville? Okay, yes, okay. First time I'd been there. But get a message, say, John, are you doing the prayer out here on the stadium? I said, I know nothing about that. But I'm like, I'm not Jonah. I'm not running away from it. But I would do it if I was there, but I couldn't get there. Scott Dawson preached Both nights had decisions. They had over 1,035 people get saved at that evangelistic event. That's what it means, folks. Now listen to this. You're not going to speak in front of 10,000 people, but you're going to speak in front of one. You're going to speak to somebody. You're going to have somebody come across your path that you can talk to, and that's the person that you can share Christ with. You can run with God. And then the fourth one, there's a kind of ends on a sour note. You know, it's sad. Jonah, he does this. He wins this, the revival they have. And he's upset because he thought, I'm going to go preach and God's going to destroy the city and it's going to be over. And they actually became believers in God. So look what happens. Jonah was furious. He lost his temper and yelled at God. Sometimes we do that. God, I knew it. I knew this was going to happen. That's why I ran off to Tarshish. I knew you were sheer grace and mercy, not easily angered, rich in love, and ready at the drop of a hat to turn your plans of punishment into a program of forgiveness. Isn't that great? So God, if you won't kill them, kill me. I'm better off dead. Wow. That's Jonah, the guy that just had a great evangelistic event. The whole city gets saved. And he's saying, I just wish I could die. Why is that? Because it wasn't what he thought was going to happen. Let me tell you this. At that moment right there, you know what? Jonah's ready for the next calling of God. I don't know where God sent him next, but God's probably going to tell him, now I need to go back to Joppa and witness to the people there. Maybe the people in that boat. Look at some of these other. We recognize God's grace. He's sulking. He's in great. There's heat. It's really bad. And this vine grows up. You probably remember this. And provides shade over him. And he's happy. And that night, God sends a little worm. And it kills the vine. And the next day, he's even madder. And he's still hollering at God. And God says to him, you know what? Did you make that vine? Did you deserve that vine? No, it was a gift. So he reflects on that. Sometimes when we get to a point we feel like God is really using us and doing some great things, we have a tendency maybe to kind of get a little bit haughty and lose our humility. We need to stay humble. Stay humble. Look at some of these. This is an amazing thing. John the Baptist, you remember John the Baptist was Jesus' cousin. When he was in prison, he sent someone back to talk to Jesus and said, are you really the Messiah or should we look for somebody else? That's how down he was at that moment. My good friend, Arnie Ferguson. I don't know if some of y'all know Arnie passed away, had cancer. His birthday was recently. I kept seeing. I was sitting in my driveway one day, and you know, all of us had these moments. Like I knew that there were people that were sick. There were people that had died. There was just problems in the world, things going on. And you just get a little bit down. And I was thinking about that, and I said, you know, I guess everybody, pastors and all, we all get down a little bit sometimes, and we even start, maybe even have starting some doubts. You know, what is going on here? I'm backing out of my driveway, and Arnie is dealing with cancer at this point. I look down the street as I'm backing up, and I see a truck coming down the street. And I'm in this mindset, you know, that I'm talking about. This truck's coming down the street, and all of a sudden it's flashing its lights. And I'm thinking, uh-oh, police down there. You know, that's what you think when the flight. Don't speed. Don't go through that stop sign. Don't speed. I look up, and it's Arnie Ferguson in his truck. I pull up next to him, talk to him for just a second. And then he points at me and says, John, keep the faith. Keep the faith. You know, it was like God knew that I needed that message at that moment. Isn't that something? God, when you have those moments and you're starting to get angry and frustrated and maybe just down and maybe some doubts even, God comes along and says, let me help you out. Just be open to it. Be ready and listen to it. Three questions that are being asked by Americans right now. This is a survey done. I think it was Princeton, their divinity school, said here are three questions that are being asked by Americans all across our country. Number one. Why is there so much pain and suffering? Number two, why am I here and what is my purpose? And number three, what happens after this life? Those are the questions on people's minds. These weren't Christians. These were people out, just average Americans. They're asking those questions. Guess what, folks? As Christians, we have the answer. We have the answer to the questions people are asking. Are we willing to share those answers with them? So as we reflect here on this past week, we had several very famous people who passed away. I wasn't a huge fan. Steve, you like Ozzy Osbourne? I'm not a big Ozzy Osbourne guy, but he passed away. Then we had Theo Huxtable, you know, the older Cosby son. He passed away, drowned, I believe. We had Chuck Mangione, Feel So Good song. And then Hulk Hogan died. All those people, these are pretty famous folks. Look at this photo. Hulk Hogan was baptized alongside his wife just months before he died. I want to read something that he said as they were interviewing him about this. And thinking again about running away from God and running to God. Hulk Hogan's conversion is marked by public baptism in December of 2023, where he declared his total surrender and dedication to Jesus. He described it as the greatest day of my life and shared that he had accepted Christ as his Savior at the age of 14. And despite that early acceptance, he acknowledged a period of derailing during his wrestling career, later stating that he didn't follow the path for many years, running away from God. His recent commitment, including his baptism alongside his wife, Sky Daly, signifies a major pivot in his life and a return to faith, emphasized by his willingness to surrender to God's guidance. His story highlights a journey of faith from initial acceptance to a period of spiritual wandering and ultimately to a public recommitment through baptism. He has spoken of this belief that fame and fortune did not bring him lasting fulfillment and that his faith is now a cornerstone of his life. He encourages others to embrace faith, acknowledging that there's a difference between knowing of Jesus and truly knowing him. So the questions for each of us, you see them on your outline there. What's the goal and what's the destination of our running? What are we running toward? There are a lot of things that we run toward. What are we running toward? Is our destination in harmony with God's plan? God's plan for your life and my life is very different. I don't know how many people are here today. Probably 90 or 95 folks are here. That means God has 91, 60. 96. Hey, we'll figure it out. 96 people here. This is important. That means there are 96 plans. God has 96 different plans for the people in this room. One for each of us. Have you found that plan? Find that place that God has set out for you to run. And then the next question, in what ways can you do better in your race? What can I do better? What can you do better? What can we do better in our race? What can Grace Point do better as we run that race? And then what lessons can we apply to our lives from Jonah? What can we learn from that story about not running away from God, but run to him, run with him? And then beware, because Satan's going to try to throw some traps, just like that vine that... the worm, all that kind of stuff happened. Distractions. What are the things? And this is the big question. Matter of fact, I asked this to a lady last night. There was a wedding over at Lounge Grove. Y'all know Outer Banks show. This lady's job for the wedding, now believe me, it's not just the pastor and a photographer anymore. It's like there's a whole, I asked one lady, what's your job? She says, I do content. Okay, I got some content over here in this folder. I said, what? She said, oh, Instagram. Oh, okay. Videographer. We got a drone going up. You know, we got all this stuff happening. But this one lady sitting there, and I go, what's your name, Melissa? I said, what's your job? I am the nanny for the flower girl. Oh, wow. That's pretty cool. So she stayed with the flower girl all evening. But we talked about this message, and we said, I'm going to talk about Jonah. Are you running away from God? Are you running to God? Are you running with God? Or are you having a run-in with him? And then I asked her the question. I said, what is your Nineveh? That's a question for all of us. There's somebody that God is calling you to reach out to, and some of us are going the opposite direction. There's somebody that God's saying, talk to that person. And we're going, I'm going over here. Well, there's somebody I'd say, you need to help that person. You need to do this to help somebody. I'm busy, Lord. I got to go to Tarshish. That's only 2,500 miles away. What else? Maybe there's a place that you need to go and check it out. Maybe there's some activity that God's calling you to do. What is your Nineveh? What is it that you're running away from that God's calling you to do? Great question. I'll tell you this. One thing we need in our church right here, we need folks that will work with the children. We need folks that will work with the youth. If you're interested in starting a small group, maybe you've never been to a small group. We have so much fun in our small group. Miss Crecia over here told me one day, she said, I never knew I could laugh so hard. And that's during the Bible study. You know, so there are times that God's calling you to find a place and don't go the other direction. God's going to keep tapping you on the shoulder. Say, well, where are you going? Where are you going? So again, don't run away from God. Run to him. Run with him. And beware of the times when we have problems that make us want to turn our back on him. Stay focused on him. Find out where your Nineveh is. Go do it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this challenge for all of us. I know in my life and other lives here today that there are people that we may try to avoid. There are people that maybe we know that we need to talk to, maybe to invite to church, or just give them a word of encouragement. And it's tough. It's tough because it's like Jonah looking at Nineveh and saying, boy, that is such a wicked place. I don't want to go there. Maybe there's somebody that's scary to us. We know they might laugh at us or they might make fun. And we just need to go to that person, encourage them, let them know that God loves them. Help us to do that, Lord. Help us to be followers and run to you and with you. Lord, we love you and we thank you now. We pray this as we go into our time of commitment in Jesus' name. Another great song. And real quick, couple words of announcement. Like I said before, if you're not in a small group, I hope that you'll find one to be a part of it. I love when people call up and say, hey, tell me about what the small groups are. And if you don't see one that you think you'll fit, you can start one. All right, we'll help you out with that. Today we leave for Carowinds at 1 o'clock. If you'll pray for us as we go. Thank you. So many of you helped out. Sponsoring folks that couldn't go otherwise, and we thank you for that as well. See what else we got. James Island Outreach coming up, and that's Tuesday and Thursday of this week from 9 to 12. If you get to around 9 or so, they'll teach you how to do it if you've never been there. All right, what else we got? School Supply Drive, if you'd like to give toward that, make sure you notate it on your check. You can put offering, as I said earlier, there's boxes here in the front and the back. You can also put your communication card, your Connect card in there as well. Pastor Kevin is working hard. Maybe he's working on it hard right now. I don't know. The 101 new members class, which will be coming up first week in September. All right. And baptism of the beach and also some AED medical training that we're going to do for first aid just around the campus here so that we are prepared for whatever might happen. Hey, maybe we can end on a fast one next time, Jason. That'd be good. All right. Thank you guys for being here. I hope you take that excitement with you and have a great week. Let's pray as we go.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, how beautiful are the feet that bring good news. And we thank you for the good news of Jesus Christ, Lord. Help us to know that wherever we are, wherever we have been, that you are always calling us back, Lord. Help us to run to you, run with you, God. God, forgive us where we have fallen short this past week. Bless us and lead us as we go into this coming week. And help us to bring that good news to others around us. In Christ's name we pray, all the people said, Amen. Amen.